This is five, chapter five, stress, anger, and burnout. As with the acknowledgement of conflict, the church has come a long way in admitting that stress, anger, and burnout are a part of congregational life. For too long, their existence has been denied by individual Christians. Their existence has been denied by churches, and their existence has been denied even by denominations. It's as though an admittance to their presence is a confession that people have a human side to their nature, while it's only the spiritual side which pleases God. In the next few moments, a brief survey of these topics, of these items, of these matters will be presented with the desire to see the part that stress has in conflict when it occurs in church, to see the part that anger has in its part, or in conflict when it occurs in church, or the part that burnout plays in conflict when it occurs in the lives of church members and thus is expressed throughout the congregation. First, let us look at the issue of stress. Like the word conflict, stress is mostly discussed in negative terms. One person may express his distress by saying, "I'm all stressed out. It's more than I can handle." Another person will say, "I have a stress headache. It's too much. It's getting me down. There's too much stress where I work, and I'm carrying it home with me, and it's causing me to have a headache." Or coming home from work, your spouse may say, "There's so much stress. There's so much stress in the office that you can just feel the tension." In order to properly discuss stress, a definition is needed. A Canadian research physician, Han Selye, describes stress as the non-specific response of the body to any demand made on it. The non-specific response of the body to any demand made on it. An evaluation of his definition indicates that stress occurs in different forms. In other words, there is bad stress, or more commonly referred to as distress, and there is good stress, not so commonly referred to as eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. Although stress is most often described as occurring during negative, harmful, and damaging events, and thus it is called distress, it also occurs in the form of winning, being pleasantly surprised, having a totally satisfying experience, or eustress. For purposes of this chapter, or purposes of this session, stress will be discussed primarily in its negative concept in order to teach the student how to identify and manage it. Stress is not a new experience in the life of modern man. Just a brief look at Scripture will show stress in the lives of different Bible characters. Adam, while in conversation with God after being disobedient, Moses in not wanting to talk with Pharaoh, Job in regretting the day of his birth, all demonstrate the discomfort brought on by stress. And similar types of circumstances can be found in the New Testament. Herod was stressed at the time of Jesus' birth. Jesus was stressed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Paul was distressed when confronted by the Holy Spirit on the road to Damascus. In the next few moments, the topic of stress will be discussed in the particular ways it relates to the life of the minister. First, the body and stress. You may have seen a headline like this in your own daily newspaper: "Minister dies of heart attack." It's a headline that occasionally appears in newspapers across the country. Some people will react to such headlines by saying they never knew the minister even had heart trouble. The truth is that in many instances, prolonged and uncontrolled stress is a major contributor to heart attacks. And certainly much research has been done over the years on the subject of stress and how it affects the body, and numerous pages and volumes could be filled discussing that research. But in brief summary, let it be said that when the body is stressed for any reason, there's going to be a reaction, either brief or prolonged, depending on the nature of the stressor. Beginning, of course, with the brain, where the stressor is detected, the reaction begins. As adrenocorticotropic hormone is secreted by the pituitary gland and goes into the bloodstream, the adrenal glands begin to secrete adrenaline. With the added adrenaline in the system, the body assumes a ready stance. Changes occur in the heartbeat, the breathing rate, the flow of blood. Stored sugar is dumped into the bloodstream to provide extra energy. The muscles tense and become ready for action. Perspiration forms on the skin's surface. Bodily processes are interrupted. The body's resources are mobilized to meet the present threat. These are some of the body's reactions when it is stressed. Prolonged stressors result in prolonged reactions. Prolonged reaction to stress can cause all sorts of physical problems. Diarrhea, constipation, high blood pressure, arthritis, ulcers, diabetes, and even death. Negative stress of a prolonged nature can be a serious threat to any person, including ministers. When stress is present, the challenge is to determine which kind of stress it is, that which can be controlled or that which cannot be controlled. Let me say it again. When stress is present, the challenge is to determine which kind of stress it is, that which can be controlled or that which cannot be controlled. Uncontrolled stress comes in the form of hurricanes, cancer, neurotic church members, unmet budgets, and similar matters. Some stressors occur, and there is nothing that can be done about them except learn to live with them. Anticipate and use good sense in preparing to respond to this type of stress. On the other hand, there are situations, there are persons, there are events that cause stress, but through organization, relationship management skills, through education, through experience, the stress that comes with them can be greatly controlled. Even in these experiences, it may not be possible to eliminate the stress entirely, but it is possible to bring about a reduction of it. Now, let's talk specifically about the minister and stress. Each person actually faces three sources of stress every day. There is personal stress, there is environmental stress, and there's the stress that's brought on simply by living in the world. Although the implications of these concepts are simple enough, they will all be discussed in the next few moments. A discussion of personal stress includes a concern about the health and well-being of an individual's body, mind, and spirit. Certainly, the normal human being is concerned about others and their needs, but he must enjoy a certain sense of security before he can be a productive and helpful agent in this world. For this reason, he must learn to recognize and manage the personal stressors of his life. To begin, good physical health is a wonderful gift from God. It's something probably most of us who are healthy don't think about and don't thank God for. But good physical health is a wonderful gift from God. Most people take good health for granted until an illness or an injury occurs, and then suddenly we realize how fortunate we are to have all of our faculties, all of our abilities, all of our capacities. Then the value of good health is appreciated. The ironical fact about good health in the United States is that there are so many resources to assist in maintaining a healthy body, but many persons ignore these numerous and available resources. Overindulgence and the lack of exercise are the greatest enemies to good health. So, with these thoughts in mind, you ought to commit yourself to eating right, to exercising on a regular basis. The easiest place to begin when it comes to alleviating stress is to take care of the body. If you don't take care of your body, who will? Next, beware of those things that create personal mental stress. Beware of those things that create personal mental stress. This kind of stress is created by meeting or missing goals that have been set in life, surviving or failing in relationships, enjoying or just tolerating a daily schedule of activities while at home, school, or on the job. Develop plans to deal with those things that can be controlled. Develop strategies that make it possible to live with those that cannot be controlled. Personal stress out of control will lessen your ability to manage environmental and world stress. Only by successfully identifying and processing personal stress is it possible to maintain the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual attitude that will enable you to effectively minister to others. Environmental stress enters life from the places where so much of one's time is spent. Your home, that's an environment. Your office, that's another environment. Places of recreation, places of entertainment, even the time spent going to and from those places. These are small environments, and in these environments, stress can build. Because of the nature and the complexity of environmental stress, it is much more difficult to control. The environment simply involves more people, events, and problems of numerous types. For example, a minister might be quite healthy in body and mind, but his spouse or child or immediate member of the family, his environment, is very ill. And obviously, the illness of that person will cause considerable stress in his life, as long as the illness prevails or even results in death. People are frequently brought into a state of stress not because of anything they have done, but because of something that is happening within their environment or one of their environments. The list of stressors that can be found in the environment are numerous. Friends, family, job, finances. And then just being alive in this world is a third major source of stress. At the time of the writing of this material, in the beginning months of 1991, war in the Persian Gulf is taking place. That area is located halfway around the world, and there's little reason to be concerned for personal safety. But the stress experienced by so many in the United States is great because of friends and family who serve in the armed forces that are operating there in that part of the world. People are concerned also about the economy. What will the war do to the economy of our nation? What if the war lasts a long time? These are concerns. These are matters of concern in the minds of people, in the environment, in the world in which they live. There are those who serve in the reserve forces who wonder if they will eventually be called to active duty. Events that happen halfway around the world can cause stress in the immediate environment. Poverty, injustice, racial problems, pollution, world hunger, war, and similar events that are present in this world every day may never actually exist in a person's life, but these occurrences can be a subtle or real source of stress for him and must be dealt with by that person to some extent. It may be that he will only be exposed to them by what information he receives through the media, but he will still be stressed because of his concern for other people who are exposed to danger, destruction, and death. Stress is wreaking havoc in the life of the minister. He not only must deal with it personally, environmentally, and in terms of what is occurring in the world, but the members of his congregation depend on him for help in dealing with their stress. A working knowledge of stress and its effects is essential for gaining control and managing conflict. Now let's take a look at the issue of stress and conflict. Whenever conflict occurs, it is a sure fact that its origin is founded in a stressful set of circumstances. As this fact is learned, a minister will develop a keener perception as to what is actually happening in a conflict setting and subsequently be better prepared to work toward a resolution of the conflict. For example, a distressed church member can be a constant source of conflict within the congregation. His distress may be expressed in the form of opposition to any type of change that is being legitimately proposed by the pastor, by a staff member, or a member of the church body. And we ask the question, why? What's going on? What's his problem? At first, it may be observed that he is distressed about how the changes will take place. He may be upset about their cost. He may be upset about how the changes will affect the ministry of the church. How will the modifications affect the appearance of this building if they're going to modify, if they're going to remodel the building, either on the outside or the inside? What will the community think about the new policies that are being instituted or established by the church? He may be thinking that we've never tried these policies before. We have a reputation for being a certain way and doing things in a certain fashion. What will the community think if we change our policies? These would be some of the reasons given in behalf of a person who is frequently the source of conflict in the church. Beyond these legitimate questions, however, there are often deeper causes of stress. The church member who is voicing all the opposition may remember. He may remember years ago when changes were made that brought him discomfort. The previous changes may have jeopardized the church's ministry because it created financial hardship for the church. The changes may have resulted in a decrease in church membership because of opposition to those changes. Some people didn't like them. They voted with their feet. They left. The distressed person who remembers these and similar events can be a source of conflict when changes are suggested. It may be that he is being stressed by things that are happening in his personal life. Maybe he has lately been stressed by several different events, and this event is like the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. When conflict occurs, a person's best chance at finding resolution is possible when he seeks and finds the most original or basic cause or causes of the distress that resulted in the emotional, physical, or verbal response. Remember also that a minister who is overstressed, hear what I'm saying, A minister who is overstressed may initiate conflict. He may simultaneously be the first to recognize what he is doing. He may regret what he is doing. He may gain control for what he is doing and apologize for it. But nevertheless, ministers can initiate stress. They're susceptible to stress-related conflict. One who possesses a healthy attitude toward the presence of stress will acknowledge it and develop ways of dealing with it. What could be some responses to stress? Let us discuss this question for a moment. A first response in dealing with anything should be to exercise good common sense. And you knew that. And you wonder why I'm saying it, but you'd be surprised how many people don't have or don't exercise the good common sense that they do have. Realizing that some people have more of an innate ability to deal with stress than others, all normal people have a sensitivity and an awareness about what is happening in the world about them. On a more personal level, common sense warns against self-indulgence. Common sense warns us or advises us to be considerate of other people. Common sense tells us to try to do something meaningful in life. Common sense suggests that we observe a lifestyle that limits the presence of stress. Common sense dictates all these good things and many more. However, actual behavior is also often different than it should be. We know, but we don't go. We know, but we don't do. Indulgence does occur. Some of the greater causes of life are allowed to pass because of indifference, because of lack of energy, or reluctance to risk. We don't do with our lives what common sense tells us that we ought to do, and we suffer in mind and body and spirit. In essence, use good common sense when stress presents itself. Take control of life's emotions as stressful events occur. Be careful of the words that are spoken. Restrain physical response when stressed or even threatened. Stress can be properly managed. Work at it. A second response to dealing with stress is to take care of the body. Overconsumption of rich food and drink will bring a negative response from the body. Present and future stress may result from bodily neglect. If a diet is filled with foods that are loaded with sugar, salt, caffeine, fat, and cholesterol, then consideration should be given to changing that diet, and only you can change your diet. Eliminate some of these things and eliminate some of the stress that comes as a result of being caused by them. Seek medical advice if you can't handle it yourself. Find a proper diet and stay with it. A body in distress causes the body to experience more distress, and it takes double effort to change this self-destructing cycle. Thirdly, take care of the mind. What is absorbed by the mind can also cause severe stress. Materials that are read, movies that are viewed, conversations that are held, arguments that are advocated, and a myriad of similar events leave an impression in the mind. You need to be very much aware of this. The things that you do, the things that you view, the things that you see, the things that you say, they can leave an impression in the mind. Take care of the mind. Many of the things will be negative in content that come your way in life simply because of the nature of the world. It is impossible to block out all of these negative thoughts, but many of them can be rejected once awareness of their nature and content is realized. Evacuate negative spheres of influence. If not possible to leave those spheres of influence, block them out as best possible with either a passive or active effort. Get out, and if you can't get out, block them out. The use of quiet time and meditation is an age-old way of dealing with stress. the acknowledgement that God is God, that God has done, that God can do, and that God will do, brings great peace into one's heart. The Christian needs to remember that he is a child of God, and that he became victorious for all time when he allowed Christ to be the center of his life. A lot of expensive medicine and therapy could be avoided by Christians if they would believe in and practice the presence of God and his power in their lives. Fourthly, it is a good idea to learn and practice various stress-reducing techniques on a regular basis. Imagery or daydreaming, breathing techniques, or muscle relaxation therapy all have value. While one technique may work better for you, another technique may work better for another person. Spend a little time and money and secure several books on techniques that can be used to assist in learning to deal with negative stress. Discover the technique that helps the most and frequently make use of it. The time and dollars invested here will pay many dividends in return. Fifthly, a way to deal with stress is to make changes if possible. Making a change of any sort requires desire, initiative, the actual change effort, and follow through. Reduce stress by changing the environment or that part of the environment that produces the stress. This may call for a serious effort or investment of time and resources on the part of the individual who desires to change the environment, but it may be the only way to get relief. Moving from one dwelling to another, changing jobs, going back to school to learn a new job or new skills, and leaving relationships that have been in existence for years may be what is necessary to change the stressful environment. Distress in life can also be reduced with a change of mind, attitude, or way of doing things. For example, the position that is favored in a dispute must be abandoned. The resistance is too great. Those of a different opinion have larger numbers to achieve their cause. To continue forward is to only participate in a futile exercise. True, it is hard to admit that one's ideas or plans have not been accepted, but those things do happen. It could be possible that the other party does have a better idea. It may be best to join the crowd on this one, if it does not call for a moral or ethical compromise on your part. Try again next time. A sixth way to deal with stress is to terminate involvement in the event. Terminate involvement in the event that's causing the uneasiness. Now, certainly this is not as easy as it sounds. For different reasons, people tenaciously hang on to ideas, traditions, goals, processes, ideals, relationships, and other entities. And by hanging on, they believe they are demonstrating faithfulness and commitment, or they believe they will ultimately succeed in achieving their goals.